to a special edition of the Shiur. Shiur and fried chicken, that's what makes it special. Today we're going to talk about the midah, the character trait of anava, humility.
Amir Gabriel
ben Golavi. I ask you a question. Now, we hear this word humble. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humblest of all men. And the Torah speaks about his humility in the context of him not getting angry when Aaron and Miriam were speaking about him. He didn't get angry, he was quiet. They were speaking bad about him, but he didn't say anything. And the Torah says he was the humblest of all men on the face of the earth. Humble. That's called anava. In Hebrew, it's called anava. We see Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all men. He was also the greatest Navi. And there will never be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe you can be anav like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah doesn't say you can't be anav, humble like Moshe. No one will ever be a Navi like Moshe. And for a very simple reason, that the Torah is forever. It's eternal. So you can never have a prophet that's going to come and supersede Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, because no one can ever hit the same level of nevuah, of closeness to Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu had. So no one can ever be on that level to supersede what the Torah that he gave us. Anav, maybe you can be an Anav. But I want to give my interpretation of why I think Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Anav. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and was the greatest Navi, so he understood much more about Hashem than we understand. We believe in Hashem. Okay, he created the world. He's somewhere. Okay, let me get on with my life. We don't feel Hashem every second of the day. We forget about Hashem. Even when we're praying, we forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu was so close to Hashem that automatically he felt so small in front of Hashem, because he really realized who Hashem is. So I want to just ask you, we'll just take a little poll over here. How do you define being humble? Anyone have any interesting thing to say? What is humility?
Knowing that everything comes from Hashem.
Very good.
Knowing your limits, knowing your weaknesses.
Knowing your weaknesses? Anyone else? Because people think being humble is being like meek, and being like, that you think you're nothing, and that you're a depressed individual. Yeah, he's a very humble guy. He's not humble, he's depressed. That's not called being humble. Moshe Rabbeinu was not depressed. So we have to see what humility is. But everything that was said is true. It's understanding that whatever you have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that any mitzvah that you do, let's say you're a big tzaddik, a big Talmid Chacham, you know the whole Torah. So you see that, you know, in a certain sense you're greater than other people in the sense that you know more than they do. But if you realize that that's what God expects from you, perhaps he doesn't expect the same from someone else, he gave you talents, so you view it as a gift from Hashem. Perhaps I'm not even doing enough. And when you look at it as a gift, and the Orchot Tzadikim is going to describe different levels of humility, it expresses itself in everything that we do. Being an anav, in everything that we do. In the way we perform the mitzvot, the kavanah we have when we perform the mitzvot. Not getting angry. The Tanya says, the Sefer HaTanya, he says that if you get angry, anger comes from arrogance. Interestingly. Mm-hmm. You would think anger is just, you know, he's an angry person. The source of it is gava. It's being arrogant and being conceited. When you're conceited, you get angry. Because how dare you upset me? How dare you do that to me? When you're anav and you don't think that you're such a great person, you don't think that you deserve kavod from other people, so if someone mistreats you, so you don't get so angry because he didn't do anything. It's okay. And also there's a lot of emunah along with there, that this was from Hashem. Hashem wants me to, you know, to undergo that that feeling, that humiliation. All these things are included in anava. So he's going to say that Orchot Tzadikim, one of the simanim, one of the signs of an anav, is someone that doesn't get angry. When you don't get angry, that's a siman. Now, it's not that you don't get angry because you have no feeling. It's with chokhmah. This is something that, not just someone that doesn't care about life in general, so he doesn't get angry because he has no self-respect. You can have self-respect and be anav at the same time. So everyone have the page? Page tetzvav. We can share. There aren't enough books. Orchot Tzadikim, as we mentioned, Orchot Tzadikim We do not know exactly who wrote the Orchot Tzadikim, but what we do know, he lived approximately in the 1300s, maybe the 1200s, and it basically, he took three books. If you've studied three different Sfarim, you'll see that those three books are inside here. Okay, what are the three books? Anyone know? Is that Shari Teshuvah is one of them? He has some things from the Shari Teshuvah word for word. You know, and he gives credit, you know. Mm-hmm. Rambam, he used a lot of Rambam, and he also used a lot of the Chovot HaLevavot. This section, particularly about Anava, a lot of it comes from the Chovot HaLevavot. So let's read together. He says, Anava Yimidat Tova. Being humble is a great trait. It's the exact opposite of being arrogant. If a person is anav, you already save yourself from many troubles. Someone that's anav will save himself and his family and his marriage and his relationship with his children many troubles. Okay? When someone is an anav, you see, when you're anav, you get more reward for your mitzvot, because your mitzvah is worth more. An anav that does a mitzvah, he's doing it not for his own glory, he's doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the mitzvah already has more value. So realize that if you're anav, your mitzvot are worth more. And he says, look at this, ki hanava shorosh avodah, being humble and understanding your place in this world, vis-a-vis Hashem, understanding that you're nothing compared to Hashem. And you know, we're all creations over here. We didn't choose to be born, and we don't choose how long we're going to live. God takes us when, you know, God willing, after 120 years, but it's according to His choice that He takes us. He says, "Umaase katan shel gaava shel ha'anava mitkabel lifnei Hashem Baruch Hu elef yadot yotem imaase gadot shel gaava." A small action of an anav, a small mitzvah that an anav does, is worth more than many mitzvot, or a great mitzvah of a bal gaava. Someone that's arrogant, he just wants kavod. So he gives millions of dollars to build a building. Okay, but it's just so they put his name. They don't even care about his parents so much, the memory. He wants his name up there. That's a great mitzvah. Okay, but if the kavana is for my own glory, that people should say, oh wow, look how wealthy he is. Look, I wish I could be like him. To put himself above other people, that's not as great as someone that is anav, is humble, and does a small mitzvah that no one knows about. That's a greater mitzvah. I'm not discouraging anyone from giving millions of dollars to the new YSCC building. We'll put your name on.
JLA.
Okay? If you want the name, you should just know, okay? If you want to put a name, you should put Leilu Nishmat. You shouldn't put your own name. Because if someone sees your name, you already lose much of the mitzvah. You're not going to get the same reward in Olam Haba. Because you already got some of the kavod in this world. Just something, God willing, when you have the money to build a building, your own name, it's better not to have your own name. V'chen amru rabotenu, echad amarbe v'chad amamit, we turn the page, v'bibad she'echaven l'kibod ha'shamayim. The most important thing is your heart. Where is your heart when you do the mitzvot? He says, aval ma'aseh shel gava inu mitkabel lifnei Hashem baruch hu, ki hi tu'avat Hashem. When an arrogant person does a mitzvah, and he's doing it for the wrong reasons, hi tu'avat Hashem. It's an abomination of Hashem. Okay, he's gonna bring different psukim. I mean, it's a scary thing. We have to see. He really, the first chapter, I really should have started from the first chapter, which is gava, arrogance. I said, I want to turn people off, because I'm such a rasha, rabbi, I'm not gonna come back. I start with anava first, okay?
Fried chicken.
The fried chicken makes up for it, okay, fine. So he says, he brings a few psukim here. Look what it says. It says in Mishle, to'avat Hashem kol gevalev. It's an abomination of Hashem, anyone that has arrogance. Now, it doesn't say, ha'bal gava, or ha'mitga'eh. Afilu kol gevalev, even in your heart. Meaning you treat people nicely. Okay, but in your heart of hearts, you think you're greater than everyone else. And you think that you're just the best thing on earth. And that you deserve respect from people. You deserve kavod. That's gevalev, even in your heart. That's also to'avat Hashem. That's also an abomination. Uba'avur zeh tzu'ek v'enu na'ana. You pray to Hashem, He doesn't answer. Okay, ve'oseh mitzvot v'torfim otam b'fanav. God does not accept your mitzvot. He brings a pasuk here, if you skip a few lines, it says, "Mi bikeshod mi'atchem romot chaserai." Hashem criticized the Jewish people in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, Yirmiyahu. It says, excuse me, Yeshayahu, Hashem told the Jewish people, Who asked you to come to my Beit HaMikdash? To trample on my floor over here. I don't need your korbanot. Get away from here. You see, Hashem doesn't just care about the mitzvah. He cares about where the kavanah is. However, now the opposite of b'midat ha'anava, v'shiflut magia l'chol tuv. When a person is humble, he will reach all good things in life and in the next world. It says, la'anavim yiten hen. God gives grace to those that are humble. And when he cries out to Hashem, tzu'ek b'na'ana miyad, he's immediately answered. Soon as he's, as soon as he prays, Hashem answers him. God is looking forward to your mitzvot. He wants your mitzvot. It says at the end of the paragraph, that the korban of the Jews will be sweet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's when you're anav. Now what does it mean to be anav? That's the next paragraph. He says, Mahi anava? What is humility? He says, it's when you think of yourself really, when you really think and truthfully, that you're really nothing. You're really nothing. And you're just a creation of Hashem. And you don't deserve any kavod from people. Now, this is not a depression-minded idea. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's realizing your potential. Realizing your potential. But even though you're doing mitzvot, he's going to explain, even though you're doing mitzvot, you're doing good, to realize it's the least you can do for Hashem. You know, it says in the Mishnah, it says, if you've learned much Torah, you've done many mitzvot, don't praise yourself so much. That's why you were created. It's like someone that goes to the mall and he wants to buy a watch. So he buys a watch, it's a few hundred dollars. He pays everything. And then he's given the watch and the salesperson puts it in the bag and he says, the guy that buys it says, is that it? I mean, I paid in full. Shouldn't you give me like another, something else? He's expecting more than what he paid for. If you want the watch, you have to pay. Don't expect matanot, When we're on this world, we just have to keep the mitzvot. That's your obligation. You're not deserving of praise because you're just doing your obligation. Maybe you're not even fulfilling the obligation that well. When you think in that mindset, there's always like, I can always do more. I can always do more. You should thank Hashem for what you've accomplished, but realize I can always do more. Then you're anav. You're never finished. We're never finished with our avodat Hashem in this world. You always have to grow more and more. Now he says here the next paragraph. I think I'm just going to paraphrase, if it's too hard just for everyone to follow. He says, the root of anava. Okay, when must a person be humble? He says here, the greatest, I'll give you a mashal. I'll give you a parable. When we do teshuvah, what's a greater form of teshuvah? When you're suffering and you have, God forbid, many tzarot, and then you say, Hashem, I'll do teshuvah, finally. Or when everything's going beautifully, and you give yourself musar, and you say, I really should do teshuvah. Look, God bless me with children and a wife and health. I really feel bad about what I'm doing. You're sort of afraid of Hashem. Look how much He's giving to me. It's not nice the way I'm acting. What's a greater level of teshuvah?
The latter.
Right, the latter one is teshuvah me'ahava. You're not necessarily afraid. When a person's receiving suffering, so he wants to alleviate his suffering, so he'll do teshuvah. Which is good also. You should do teshuvah. You should always do teshuvah. It's the same thing with anava. Where is the real sign of anava? So he says, in the last paragraph, shiachshob ve'atzmo ve'otshu shalev v'shaket. It's when everything's going well. Parnasa is good. Bari ve'ashir, you have money, you're healthy, and Hashem's giving you all the good. Asher ha-boreh baruch hu etiv ve'imo tova. God gave you all the good things. V'shu enu ra'uila, and you really feel, I'm not really so deserving of this. When you think that way, v'shiachshob gedolat ha'ever umut tifartov, yachshob ma'ani. You think of the greatness of Hashem, you say, who am I? I'm a lowly creature. I am in a transitory world, a world that will not exist forever. And he says, everything that I do accomplish is but a drop in the great ocean of what I'm obligated to do. You see the mentality is I can always do more. It's not enough what I've done. But you're supposed to think, Chovat HaLevavot says in the same reference, he says, You should thank Hashem for the mitzvot that you do. You shouldn't say, I'm so bad, I don't do mitzvot. No. I'm doing mitzvot, but I should do more. I can always do more. How can I improve on the mitzvot? Always looking to do better. The same way businessmen. Always looking. No, you're just satisfied with mediocrity? Okay, I'm making a living. No, you want to do better. You want to, you know, be more successful. And he says you should not do the mitzvot. This is a very important thing. This is the opposite of anava. When you do mitzvot for other people, with other people in mind, that other people should notice what you're doing, other people should praise you, that's already not anava, that's ga'ava. You're self-serving yourself. You're doing the mitzvot for yourself. You shouldn't do it for any ulterior motive. The mitzvot that we do should be below the shum hana'ah. Everything should be for Hashem. He says, however, if a person becomes anav because he's sick, God forbid, or God forbid he loses a child, bar minan, or a person loses all his money, or when he's just really old and frail and he's dying, and then he feels anav, he feels really, you know, I'm really nothing. He says, okay, that's still good, but you did not hit the ultimate anava. So that's something we should realize. If you want to be anav, now's the time to be anav. To really put yourself underneath Hashem, to realize that Hashem is greater than you. And he says, the next paragraph, he says, anava manifests itself in your relationships with other people, the way you do business with each other. And then it should always be benachad, b'shiflutu benachad. You should always be calm and collected and not get angry, not get, you know, not be arrogant. V'ikar ha'anava sheikana lo'otan shen tachtav. You should be anav with those people that are underneath you, your workers, people that you're paying. So you think you're paying them, so I own them. You know, I can speak to them the way I want. He said, b'nei beto. When you're anav in your house, the way you speak with your wives, with your children. It says, and we pray every day, Elokai netzor l'shoni mera, usfata midaber b'ma, v'lim kalelai nafshi tidom, v'nafshi ke'afar lakol tihia. My soul should be like dust, lakol tihia, to everyone. My soul should be as dust to everyone. The Chida writes on there, in his Perush on the Sidur, he says, afilu l'ktanim, even to children. You should be anav with children. The way you treat children, shouldn't, you know, yell at them and treat them like they're nothing. Even if they're your own kids. You know, that's the mistake people make. They think they're my kids, I can do whatever I want to them. And he says you should treat the poor with dignity. Even though you're giving them parnasa. And he says, v'hu eino sarich lehem eino yarem. Now, anava is really visible when you're anav with someone that you don't need anything from them. Such as a poor person. Someone comes in, comes into Beit Knesset, treating them with respect. Giving them a cup of coffee. Helping them. Treating them like a human being. And he says, "Hanichna la'almanot ulegerim sovet urcham masa'am." If someone helps a widow, or gerim, someone that's a convert, someone that's a stranger in town, v'sovet yartorcham umasa'am, and you take their burden as your own burden, you help them. You really help them, and you take their burden on yourself. That's an amazing form of anava. Especially if no one knows about it. If you can manage to do mitzvah with no one knowing about it, that's the greatest, my mother, God bless her, always tells the story of my great-grandfather, who he died very young. And when he died in Egypt, at the funeral, many people came. People they've never seen these people before. He used to give a lot of tzedakah, even his own wife he didn't even tell. He used to pay people's rent. He's very wealthy. His own wife didn't even know about the mitzvah that he was doing. And he died with the mitzvah, without receiving any kavod for the mitzvah that he did. That's anava. It's doing the mitzvah for Hashem. I don't need the kavod. If you get the kavod for the mitzvah, you lose your olam, you lose the part of your portion of olam haba for that mitzvah. It's not worth it. For the little kavod of, wow, you know, look how much money he gave. For that little kavod that you get, which I don't even have such a kavod, it's not worth it. You lose it. Okay, he says also you should be anav in front of your rabbi, and in front of any tamid chacham, lifnei tzadikim. And he says that's a big form of anava. And he says if you're a rabbi yourself and you're teaching people, the Gemara tells a story about a rabbi named Rabbi Pereda. Rabbi Pereda, amazing. He used to, he used to review with his student. He had a student that wasn't very bright. He'd teach him the Mishnah. He doesn't get it. Okay, another time. 400 times he would review it with a student. Mm-hmm. Until he went, and then he would get it. You know? At least one time it took him 400 times to explain to him. He had a dream, or a bat kol. He heard a voice from heaven. Says, what do you want? Do you want a sure ticket to Olam Haba? You know, do you want to be rich? Do you want to live another 400 years? You know? And he was given this choice. I don't remember what he answered. I think he said Olam Haba, sure ticket to Olam Haba. But that's being anav. Being anav is being very patient. Patience is also part of anava. Okay, we turn here to page Yutet. Okay, he gives six signs of anava. Okay? Number one, he says, Harishon, bechozek kaso shel adam. The way you get angry, if you get angry, kegon, shebizvahu adam me'od bidvarim o b'maaseh, someone humiliates you, mistreats you, speaks to you not very nicely. V'yesh lo linakem mimenu. Now you can take revenge. Now revenge doesn't mean you're gonna go, you know, punch the guy in the parking lot. You'll tell him off. You tell him something. You have a good line. Anyone here have good lines? Good line. You have a good line. Think of a good line. And you're like, pleasure. Tell him a good line. I got him. And you're quiet. You don't say anything. And you conquer yourself. You control yourself. And you're mochel. You forgive him. Right away you forgive him. Ba'avur ha-bore baruch hu. And it's for Hashem. Hashem. I'm not gonna take revenge. That's taking revenge, by the way. It's a Yisur Torah. To tell someone off if he upsets you, not only are you koes, not only are you getting angry, you're also taking revenge. You're doing to him what he did to you.
So what if somebody embarrasses you and then you take them in private and say, listen, you know what you did is not really nice. I didn't really appreciate it.
That's nice. That's good. No, that's good. In private, that's good. And also you should find a good time to do it, you know? Usually if you do it right after he humiliated you, you probably won't be so calm. You know? It takes time to, you know, but the most important thing is just to be quiet. Just be quiet. If someone says something mean to you, just don't say anything.
Can you tell them it's okay, I forgive you, or is that kind of like saying revenge too?
It depends. If you're trying to be better than, I'm better than, I'll forgive you. First of all, it's also, you probably don't forgive him.
It's not there, no?
Because, what's that?
When you say something like that,
I forgive
there.
You? It depends. Noter, first of all, means to bear a grudge. Just for people don't know what noter is. It really depends on what your motivation is. If you're trying to
forgive you, just
noter. Yeah, it really depends. It depends. Probably right afterwards.
Like a little bit after when it sinks in, and then.
I'll tell you, forgiving people is a very tricky thing, because it's very easy to say, "I forgive," okay, but you're really still very upset.
You're lying to yourself.
Hey, you're lying to yourself.
You know, you're not gonna let what he did bother you, and
But you have to really work on it. You have to really, you know, there's a pasuk in the Navi where Shimi ben Gera was a great man. He cursed out David HaMelech. Stoned him and called him a no good, low life. David HaMelech. Why? Because he saw David's kingship going down. Avshalom made a revolution against his father, and it looked like Avshalom was going to be the next king. So of course he wants to side with the winning team. So he sees David and he's like, you know, curses him out. Okay, and he's still the king. David is still the king. He's still the king, but he's on his way. It looks like he's on the way out. But we know, of course, David HaMelech makes a comeback. Okay? Rematch. He had the rematch. You know, but he ends up making it back. Now, at that time when Shimi was cursing him out, so one of David's entourage, he says, who was it? So he says, David, take him down. He's Mored b'malchut. You know, it's Asur, what he's doing. To insult the king, the Jewish king, Melech Yisrael, he's chayav mita. Really, he's supposed to die. David says, don't do anything to him. Hashem told them to curse. Now, obviously, he made a very big sin. God didn't really tell him to curse. It's a figure of speech. He's basically saying, I deserve this. He's the unfortunate conduit for me to receive that suffering. I'm supposed to receive the suffering. He made a sin, he'll pay the price. Eventually, he'll pay the price. But don't take revenge against them. That's anava. Moshe berucho, that's Moshe berucho. Someone insults you, okay? The true anava, the Pele Yoet says, is in your home. The wife and kids. Because When you're so familiar with someone and you're not as careful, it's very easy to be anav in the Beit Knesset. Okay, someone took your seat. Okay, if you get angry because someone took your seat, you're a little kid. I mean, that's not real anava. I mean, you should not do that. But it's not so difficult to be anav when you have your friends, you come here, it's very nice. The true sign of humility is when you're home, when you're at home. Calm, someone says something. The wife says something not to your liking. The food's not ready. Okay? It's burned. There's no food. Okay, whatever the case is. It's okay. Hashem told her not to cook. yeah, that's okay, you know. Anav. That's the key thing. That's the first thing. Number two, okay, God forbid, if someone suffers, loses a lot of money, loses a child, God forbid, or a sibling, or whatever, when you accept God's judgment on yourself, you're matzdik alav et adin, you say Hashem's the true judge, that's anava. See, this is not anava, it's a very...
Everything you do has anava relating to it. Any form of suffering that you feel, when you're matzdik alav et adin, you don't question Hashem. Look what he brings the pasuk, it says, you remember Aharon, his great children, Nadav and Avihu, died. They died on the first day of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. The eighth day, I'm sorry. On the eighth day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, they died. And they were the two of the greatest tzaddikim. And Aaron was just quiet. Vaidom Aaron. He just, Matzik Alav Et Adin. He was just totally quiet. That's also Anava. Now, number three. Okay, this is not... Okay, maybe it doesn't apply to everyone. When people start praising you, how wise you are, what a big tzaddik you are, maybe some people experience this. You should not, lo yismach bi libu al zeh. You should not feel good about yourself and praise yourself when people are praising you so much. Rather, you should say, you know what, whatever I've accomplished, mu'atim neged mashu chayav lasod, it's much less than what I'm even obligated to do. It's just a drop in the bucket. And he says, now, let's say someone says about you something bad that you've done. Okay? Excuse me. Let's say someone praises you for something that you didn't really do. That's already like not so easy, no? Should you admit it? Should you not say it? Okay. He said it. Okay, you feel good inside. People think I'm Baba Daniel. Right? What are you supposed to do? He says, lo yismach. You should not be happy with this. Actually, you should be upset about it. At least, ta'ir b'dibol she'etzal lo shem b'davar she'en bo. Now, you should not be happy about it. Let's say someone says something bad about you, which is true. Then how do you react to this? Should you deny it? Should you get angry at them? Same thing, you should just be quiet. He says, if it's true, he says, you know, he brings from Yehuda. Yehuda admitted his mistake with the whole episode with Tamar. He said, Satkam Yemeni. She's right. I'm at fault. You know, just be anav. You know, in politics, you always see this. When they deny things at the beginning, it always comes back to haunt them. They just come out in the beginning and just say, yeah, okay, I did what I did. Okay, let's go on. People, they're very forgiving, you know? And Hashem's forgiving also. When we admit, it says, Modev ozev yiruham. If we admit the bad that we've done to Hashem, and we confess our sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you realize what you did was wrong, just admit it. Say, yeah, I did it. And he says also, if your sin was revealed to other people, you can sort of thank Hashem. You know, Hashem is giving you a little kapara. And this is something, you know, he's giving you a little kapara for something that you've done. Now he brings a story here. This is from the Chovot HaLevavot. He says, one time, you know, is an isur to speak Lashon Hara. I'm not supposed to speak Lashon Hara. The Chovot HaLevavot says something fascinating. He says, if you speak Lashon Hara about someone else, you take a portion of their sins. And they take a portion of your mitzvot. And you bring this a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "Va'ashev lishchenenu shiva'atayim elchekam cherpatam asher chepucha Hashem." That God repays the evil seven times to someone. Like someone, so the Chovot HaLevavot says, people are going to get to Olam Haba, and they're going to give them a whole list of mitzvot that they've done. I didn't do this mitzvah. I never did that. You say, no, you're right. But someone spoke Lashon Hara about you, and he did that mitzvah. And they're gonna reveal all these different mitzvot that are coming to you. Be very careful. You lose a lot by speaking Lashon Hara.
What if you're in the presence of someone who's speaking Lashon Hara, and you don't want to embarrass them and be like, oh, please,
I don't want to hear this. Stop speaking Lashon Hara. Because it's a little bit rude. You know? Like, two guys, you're hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, someone's
you should name, say. You should say.
Comes up.
You should say, you know what? We shouldn't speak about
and
that.
And then what if they become embarrassed? Or what if they say, I don't care?
So, listen, it depends on the situation. If you think they're going to be worse because of it, they're going to even say, no, not only that, I'll tell you even more. So then you got to be careful. It really depends. If it's someone that's normal, you know, he'll pick the musar. He'll say, okay, you know, yeah, okay, I'm sorry. For sure you should. You know? Let's say if you can reprimand someone, it's good. But reprimanding, you'd be very careful. You should be careful not to embarrass. It's the way you say it, you know. Also, you can't be a hypocrite. If you speak Lashon Hara, not you. One that speaks Lashon Hara himself and telling someone, don't speak Lashon Hara, like, who are you? You know? You're Baal HaLashon Hara. You know? So he brings here from, it says, you know, Hashem told the Jewish people, you have to remember what God did to Miriam. Miriam, we know, spoke Lashon Hara. Now Hillel, the great Hillel, okay, someone told them, Al yirbu kemotcha b'Yisrael. You know, the story, famous story with Hillel, there were two guys, two lowlifes, okay? They made a bet. Who can upset Hillel? So one guy said, yeah, I can upset him. He said, no, you're going to see Hillel can't be upset. He said, okay, well, let's make a bet. So they made a bet on, I don't know, $400 or something, Zuzim, whatever it was. And they go to Hillel, and Hillel was getting ready for Shabbat. And he was taking a shower. Bath, whatever they had in those days. And he starts knocking on the door. Now, Hillel was the Nasi. He was the greatest rabbi of the generation. They knock on the door. He says, is Hillel here? Calls him Hillel. Like, he's just like Hillel Hebrew Academy, you know? Like, it's just like, who are you? You know? He didn't say, Harav Hillel, Kvod Harav, Nasi. Is Hillel here? He says, yeah, I'm here. What? How can I help you? Very nice, Anav. The Gemara says you should be Anav like Hillel. He's the example of Anav. Easygoing, Ma'alesh. You know, Arabic, Ma'alesh. Okay. And he asks Hillel just ridiculous questions, just to try to bother him. You know, why he's asking about different, you know, why the Asians look like this, and why the Africans look like this, Babylonians have round faces, etc. Just saying nonsense. And on each thing, Hillel tries to find some type of truth in the thing. You know why? Because of so-and-so. He answers him. He keeps on bothering him. You know, he comes in and out. He's like, yeah, how can I help you? You know, he comes in and out. Okay, he came with the shower cap. You know, with the ivory soap. And he doesn't get angry. And this guy's watching from behind, and he's like laughing, you know? He can't get him upset. And then he ends up losing the bet. He could not get Hillel upset. And then he even told Hillel, he said, are you Hillel the Nasi? He says, yes, I am Hillel. He says, Al yirbu kemotcha b'Yisrael. There should be no one like you in Israel. He basically told them, you know, I don't like you. Okay, he's telling the great... Now, what would a normal person do? Okay, just get out of here. Yeah, it's normal. And he also has kavod haTorah. There are lots of good excuses Hillel could have had to just throw the guy out. Anav. He was extreme anava. Right? And the Gemara is very much praises the midav anava. And you see, anava, if someone's anav, he's very well loved. Who do you love? Who do you really like being around? Someone that's like full of himself? Or someone that like is interested in what you have to say? You know? Who do you like more? Someone that just talks about themselves? Or someone that's interested, yeah, what about you? You know, who's the guy, Dale Carnegie? You know, Dale Carnegie. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Famous book. He says the most basic thing, if you want to just be a good friend, just be a good person, work on being likable. It's just asking people about themselves. Just take an interest in the other person. That's anava. That's really what it is. It's anava. If you just talk about yourself, no one's going to like you. That's not that, you know, you're not going to win friends and influence people by talking about yourself. That's gava. No, instinctively, we don't like bale gava. We don't like people that are arrogant. So that's from Hillel. Now, he says here, if God blesses you with osher v'kavod, okay, now here's number four. Let's say a person has wealth. He has children, he has all the good things. Big house with the pillars, okay? You need the pillars. Eh? Even if the house doesn't need pillars. They're just there for the look. Another pillar. So you have the pillars. Okay? Yosif anava v'shiflut v'nebore baruchu. Now, when you have good and God is giving you, blessed you, you should be even bigger anav. You should thank Hashem and say, you know what, look how nice you are to me. I'm not even deserving of this.
having wealth should make you an even bigger anav, not less of an anav. Because you should view yourself, look, I'm not really deserving of this. Look, God told Abraham Avinu, there's a proof for everything. Everything that I'm telling you, there's a pasuk or a gemara about this. Abraham Avinu, God told Abraham Avinu what he's going to do to Sodom. You remember? Hashem said, can I hide from Avraham Avinu that which I'm going to do? Hamechaseh anim Avraham. I love Avraham. He teaches his children the proper way. It says in the Torah, God praises Avraham Avinu. In that same paragraph, Avraham Avinu says, V'ani afar va'efer. I'm as dust of the earth. How can I even talk to you, Hashem? Who am I to even speak to you? To raise my head to talk to you. Ani afar va'efer. You see, when God praised them, he made himself even lower. I'm not deserving of your praise. Now he says, okay, we're just going to finish with this. Really, we're going to spend a few weeks on the Anava. He brings here, he says, having money, you have to realize, okay, when we pray to Hashem, we pray in the Amida, we pray for Parnasa, Tenanu Parnasa, Berevach, Bechavod. Do we pray and really hope inside that we should be rich? You can raise your hand. What do we pray for when we pray for money? Are we praying to be very wealthy? Is that what we pray for? Now, the reason why I'm asking this is because it might not be the best prayer to say. Now, you should for sure pray for parnasa. You should for sure pray to have parnasa, proper parnasa. You shouldn't have to worry to sustain yourself when you're in debt. It's very hard to pray with kavanah. You can't learn Torah. We want parnasa, but he says too much parnasa can be a curse. Sometimes God wants to punish someone. He gives them a lot of parnasa. Can you imagine? You think? That's the best thing. Too much parnasa. God might be cursing you because he wants to take away your olam haba because you're not deserving of it. But you've done some mitzvot in this world, so he's going to give you wealth. It could be the wealth is taking away your olam haba. There's a story in the Gemara about a rabbi who was very poor. His wife was complaining all the time. He's like, no, it's okay. So what? So we don't have a table. It's okay. You know. They said that. And then she nagged him so much. He started praying to Hashem, please Hashem, come on. Okay, just... And a golden leg came from Shamayim. Golden leg. Whatever that meant, okay? Big piece of... So he found this piece of solid gold. Obviously, he told his wife about it, okay? He told her it was half the size, of course, so... He doesn't spend all the money. And they sell, they make a lot of money. And then he has a dream. And in his dream, he's sitting in Olam Haba with all the tzaddikim. And you know, they're sitting at a seuda and they're learning. He's like, what's wrong with this table over here? You know, it's like, it's shaky. And he notices there's a leg missing. His table's missing a leg. He understood that because he got too much in this world and it wasn't really coming to him, he just pleaded so much with Hashem, he received part of his olam haba in this world. So now, he felt bad. I mean, this world, how long am I going to be in this world anyways? Olam Haba is much, much better. So he prayed to Hashem to take it back. And it was taken back. And the Gemara comments on this story, the second miracle is even greater than the first miracle. The second miracle of taking back what God gave him was an even bigger kindness from Hashem, because usually once it's given, that's it. You know? That's, you can't take it away anymore. They realize that having wealth in this world, it's a nisayon. So he gives, this is from the Chovot HaLevavot, he says, you have to realize, if the money makes you do more mitzvot, it allows you to do more mitzvot. And you're a better Jew because of it. And he says, you don't hurt people with your money, you're anav. Okay? You raise your family properly. He says, you should realize that the money is a bracha. If you're a better Jew because of the money, then that's a bracha. God wants to give you more mitzvot, so he gives you bracha. He says, if you're so worried about your money, and you're constantly preoccupied trying to keep your money, and you're always worried that you're going to lose it, and you're not anav, okay? He actually, the second level is that you're not doing anything bad with it, you're just you're very preoccupied with it. That's a siman that God's testing you with your money. It's not a bracha, it's a test. He's giving you money to test you, to see what are you going to do with this thing. How preoccupied, how interested are you in this? And then he says, it can also be a nekama, it can also be revenge. God can give you your punishment with money. I mean, you think that's, how is that possible? It's actually a pasuk in the Torah. It says, "Umishalem le'son'av, el panav la'avido." That's, God sometimes pays
his enemies with good. Because, you know, even a nice, you know, even someone that's not a very good person, Rasha, you know, he called his mother in the morning. Hey, mom, how you doing? Okay, and then he goes out and does, okay, goes and gambles, okay? I'm just, you know, giving something to Hansa. Okay? But he said, you know, we were talking about Las Vegas, that's in my mind, Las Vegas. So,
What? He robbed a car. Steal a car or something.
Okay.
He robbed a bank.
He gambled, and then he stole a car, okay?
Murder.
You should just know that gambling leads to everything, you know, because you gotta pay for the...
And then Sanhedrin says,
the other thing is, don't get a number. That's just a start. Gambling's the start, Rabotai. Okay, now the guy's a gambler, no good, okay? Also, we try to keep the shewer, you know, nice lashon.
15-6 time.
What's that?
You're gonna do 15-6
Yeah, no. We're gonna maybe call the friend. You want to do 15-6? Yeah, okay. Okay. So now, the guy calls his mother in the morning, and he says, hey mom, how you doing? So now, that's a mitzvah. Now this guy really does not deserve olam haba. Okay? He did worse things. Okay? Besides the gambling is also not good. Okay, but God has to repay the good that he did. God doesn't forget the good that you do. So what does Hashem do? He says, well, he doesn't really deserve olam haba. I have to repay him, so let me give him bracha in this world. And you think, wow, this guy's, you know, he can't go wrong. Okay, this guy's a great guy. I just want to be around him. You realize that God's punishing him with the money.
He's okay? Giving him his reward now.
He's giving him his reward now, exactly. And not just that, if a person's a rasha and he has money, he's going to be an even bigger rasha. You see that? That's the scary thing. Because if someone is a rasha and he doesn't care to go in the right way, so God helps him go in the wrong way. Because he's so far from Hashem, he doesn't care about Hashem. Hashem helps, it says,
so it's kind of like, you don't care about me, I don't care about you.
Yeah,
so,
and you know.
He just give them enough money to be busy with what they're doing. You know, rich people doesn't have time to think about that. They just
money might be also, more of a rasha.
If you're a rasha, if you're a rich rasha,
and you become rich rasha, you'll be a bigger rasha.
Exactly.
But isn't that God kind of saying, okay, I don't care about you anymore?
He's testing you. Yeah. Now again, a person can always do teshuvah, even the biggest rasha.
Of course.
But it's very hard.
What kind of a message is he sending by saying, okay, go become a bigger rasha?
He's give you opportunity to be big rasha. It doesn't make you big rasha.
If you want to be a rasha,
you want more money,
God will help
money.
You.
Do whatever you want. If you do with that more avod, it's your problem. You become more rasha. It's not him. He's giving you the ability to become. You do this.
Now someone mentioned. Now someone mentioned something earlier. We're going to do the number of the fifth siman of anava. Someone mentioned if you ask someone for mechila, you harm someone and then you ask them for forgiveness. That's a big sign of anava. A big sign of anava is saying I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. And even though you don't need that guy for a job or whatever, you know? You don't need him. You're saying I'm sorry because that's the right thing to do. That's a big sign of anava. Now this is the last thing he says here, hashishi. The sixth thing is the way you speak. Shinad ba'anava b'dvarim rakim, speaking softly, speaking nicely. Bekol namuch, you speak low. You speak with a low voice. You don't yell at people. Even with Torah, you should know. And he says also, you shouldn't be so full of yourself. Okay, maybe we'll leave this last one over here. Okay, he's talking about basically not being, you know, gaudy in your dress, you know, the car you drive, the clothing you wear. That's also anava. So, you know?
Why, Rabbi, we should know. We should read all of them.
What's that?
We should know all of them.
No, of course.
Come on, Rabbi, read it.
Yeah, of course.
I just think I'll call it.
I'll tell you, I'll explain to you why. We have to know where we're holding. You have to know where you're holding, okay? If you ask me, someone asked me recently, what car should I buy? I want to buy a new car. What car should I buy? I said, you know what? Buy a Toyota Camry. Okay? That's a good car. It's not, what's that?
You got a commission.
I got a commission. It's a, no really, think about it. Why do you need a car? You're gonna buy a new car? Buy a Toyota Camry. My dad was in the...
It's solid.
It's a good car. It's, you know, you can drive it for a long time. It's a good car. Yeah, it's just like, you know, and it's nice. It's mechubad. Okay? People aren't going to be talking, wow, see that guy's Camry? You're not going to get that. Wow. You know? Unless you get, of course, you know, the tail. You know the tail in the back? That, oh, you know? You know, we were talking until Dutch Lishit. Someone here got a new car. So he was telling me he wants to get it all souped up and everything. So he got the new car. I said, so how's the new car? Is it all souped up? So he says, yeah, pretty much. I said, what, you got the leather seats? He said, Rabbi,
You're like old school. It's like leather seats, like, that's like, it's not a big deal.
And anyway, and so, that's the thing, you know? The car you drive, really, that represents whether you're Anav or not. Now, again, it's not, you know, sometimes a person has to drive.
Depends how you take it. You can drive on a Mercedes and you take it. This is a four wheel and an engine that move me from
one place to another. Yeah, exactly. It depends what.
If you say, whoa, my Mercedes half.
Not clear, yeah, but even that, you know. Everything is good. But I'll tell you, I know someone that's a multimillionaire. He's an Anav. His house, very simple house. He drives. He has a very fancy car. Okay, but he barely uses it. He only uses it when he takes business partners or potential clients out to lunch. He can't drive a cheap car because it looks like, why are you driving a cheap car? You know, like he's dealing with multimillionaires. He has to have a very fancy car. So that's Anav. He's Anav. He's using it for that purpose. Everyone try to apply it in your own life. If your kavana is to show off, then that's not Anav. That's gava.
This is what he said. It's not that if you have something good, you have a good watch. It doesn't make any.
What's that?
A lot of money. What are you supposed to do with all your money? You going to donate it all?
No.
You should do mitzvot.
You don't need a lot of money. Do it.
Like I mentioned at the beginning of this year, the YSCC wants to buy a building.
You don't need a lot of money. You made $100 million. You donated $20 million. You're left with 80. You don't want to buy a Bentley?
Well, what are you going to gain with the Bentley? What are you going to gain with the Bentley?
It's not a nice car.
I'm just saying. You have a lot of money. What are you supposed to do with it?
No.
You're not gonna die with it. You're not gonna die
first
with
of all, it. You can make investments, make more, you can work with it, you know, use it.
You have enough money to work with it, but
that's good. So you're supposed to give tzedakah as much as tzedakah as you can.
Sponsors.
Yeah.
Sponsors.
Huh? Now also, what's that?
$7 million house.
What's that? I have another, what's that? What's that? It's not just the camera, it's the house also. Again, how this translates into I'm not, God forbid, you know, when you give a shiur, you're supposed to really like have, you're supposed to internalize everything that you give. I'm not speaking about anava as if I'm anav. Okay? I can't afford the Bentley. So, you know, if you can afford it and you still don't buy it, that's something, you know? But, the point is, in the way that you're able to internalize this, not to flaunt. Don't flaunt. When you buy something, buy it because you think you need it, not because what are people gonna say. You know, that's the most important thing. I just want to finish with one Dvar Torah from the Parashat HaShavua. Is it still on, this thing? Is it?